called King's Heart, I think, maybe. Lavar, won't you just pray again? Just make sure.
Our blessed Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in your house. God, what an honor it is. God, to hold in our hands this blessed book of God. Lord, we want to ask you tonight, blessed Father, that you'd touch the hearts of men. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd send conversion, dear Lord, for those that are lost. And God, I pray for those that are saved tonight, blessed God, that you'd meet every need. Lord, I pray tonight, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord, to be what we ought to be for you. I ask you tonight, blessed God, that you'd unctionize the preaching. Lord, I pray that you'd touch it, dear God. You've been so good to us this week. We want to thank you, Lord, for every drop that you put on the table. Lord, we want to thank you for it. God, you ain't been nothing but good to us, and we want to bless your name. Just say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. God, you're so wonderful. You're so beautiful. God, you're so kind and gracious and long-suffering. And Lord, I just want to take time tonight and say thank you, God, for all that you've done. I pray, God, that you'd meet with us tonight. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, Proverbs 21:1. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. By the way, that's all of us.
That's right.
Our ways are right in our own eyes. It doesn't matter what the folly is or what the fault is. It's right in our own eyes. Why don't we explain it? If we can't explain it, we wouldn't do it. People live by their own ways. Their heart has devised these ways. Just like Jehoshaphat, in his heart, he devised a new thing. Came up with a new idea. Two places to worship those golden calves. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. The high look and a proud heart, the plowing of the wicked, is sin. I want to look at this. I want to look at it through this eye, the eyes of this. For the Lord in verse 2 pondereth the hearts. So can I go to verse 1 of the king? The Lord takes time to ponder the heart. But he ponders the heart of the king. Those in position of power, those in position of authority, those that have rightfully been given that, and the Lord pondereth the hearts. Searching them, he knoweth them. We also know, according to Jeremiah, that he giveth them to them according to those same ways, according to the fruit of their doings. And so I want to look at the kings in 2 Chronicles, just go through that. There's not too many that the Bible says a whole lot about concerning this matter of the heart, but there are a couple. And so with that in mind, I want to just look at those and the very simplicity of what the scriptures say concerning the heart of the kings. And let's start at 2 Chronicles 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I'll start at verse 10. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of a spoil which they had brought 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart, with all their souls. And whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. Well, that's a pretty strong covenant.
Yes, sir.
If you search for it with all of your heart, if you seek it with your whole heart, I believe you'll find it. But they said, if a man would not, whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel, should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Sir, your wife's not seeking God. Stone her. That's the covenant they made. Now, I don't want to make light of this. I really don't. And I don't want to make mockery of this. I certainly hope that you don't take it that way. But they're already dead spiritually.
Yep.
Just go ahead and finish them off. You realize that long life, a lot of times, is the judgment of God.
Right.
There are people that live long, tortuous lives because God's just.
Sure.
And they die, and everybody says the same thing. All we know, they're in a better place. I mean, my goodness, they gave every year to the Legion Christmas party. Remember back in the 60s, how he used to dance. Remember back in the 70s, all the women he loved. You know, he's certainly in a better place now, but they live their life, then they die, and they go to hell, and they're in torment forever, for all eternity. And so, they're spiritually dead, yet they have no inclination to seek God. And they swear unto the Lord, in verse 14, with a loud voice, and with shouting, with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath. For they had sworn, look at this, with all their heart. They said, with all my heart, I will seek the Lord. With everything in me, I will seek the Lord. Don't get all bent out of shape about this, but let's just cancel Christmas. Yeah. Let's just go on next week.
Amen.
How's your heart?
It's stopped.
How's your heart?
Right.
Let's not open gifts. Let's have prayer meeting Christmas morning. How's your heart? He said, seek the Lord with all your heart.
Glory to God.
How's your heart? But we had plans. I've had plans.
Right.
But I made oath unto the Lord many years ago that wherever he sent us would go, whenever he sent us would go, whatever he required of us, we would do. But I made that unto God. We've canceled plans. We've had things blow up. We've had things destroyed. We've had preachers call us, and when we needed a week of rest, I've had pastors call me and say, brother, could you come up? My wife doesn't complain, don't you misunderstand what I'm saying? But I've seen her in tears because we had to pack the van and get it all rough. I've seen her struggle to get back in the van. Why? Because she's physically wore out. She's exhausted. She feels like she can't take another step. You know what we do? We pray, we get back in the van, we repack the luggage, and we hit the road. I'm just going to say this because I want to be merciful. But God cancels our summer this summer. I know people say, oh, you were on vacation, man. You were in Maine. We weren't on vacation. My wife is in her 5th, the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th week of pregnancy. It wasn't a vacation. It might have been for her, but it wasn't for me.
Right.
At least this time I learned not to go all the stupid little roadside stands in Maine and try to buy her all the tree hugger organic treats for women. You know, whether they get the tummy tea for you know, maternity and all this. And my wife's just gagging every night. I find the just buy her a bag of cheap Fritos. Doritos. Well, I put Doritos, I think it was. Like all this, you know, Craggy Pops and, you know, nausea tea, and she's gagging it all down. Good old Doritos worked.
Yeah.
We ended up being up there 4 weeks. We went home for 9 days. We turned around and we're back to Maine. was there for 3 weeks. Got home for, I guess, about 12 days and had to go to the armpit of New York, Black Creek. You say, how's Black Creek, the armpit of New York? You don't know who lives there. Got down in Black Creek. Come home for a week and a half, went over the mountain, Manassa Community Baptist Church, stayed over there a couple of nights. We're home 4 nights, drove back and forth the next week to Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Got done Lebanon, Pennsylvania Wednesday night, turned around Saturday morning and left for Oklahoma, 20-hour drive. Turned around and got back from Oklahoma, told my wife, I said, let's take a little break. We promise you all year we'll take a break. Short notice, we took a little $150 vacation down to Hilton Head. Brother Vernon said, well, you, listen, I need you to come preach. What are you doing running off on vacation? I don't stay out of my business, so here we are. Our year's gone. I don't lament it. I don't reject it. I'm not upset about it. I'm not poor mouth. I'm not whining to you about it. Our year's gone. It's a year we'll never get back. But it's a year I wouldn't trade for anything.
Hello.
It's been one of the greatest years of our life. Of our marriage, of our ministry. What's first? What's first? What God is it that you're bowing down to? What is it God is it that you're looking at? What God is it that you will not seek the Lord with your whole heart? In verse 15, all Judah rejoiced at the oath. For they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole, and here's the key, desire. Somebody contested with me earlier this year, and I talked about the heart, and I said it's the seat of your desire. And they contested with that, said, where's that in the Bible? And I showed them, they still didn't believe it. It's the whole desire. If you'll delight thyself in who? The Lord, he'll give you what?
Desires of your heart.
Desires of thy mind. No. He'll give the desires of thy heart.
Right.
Why? Because God puts that desire in there.
Hallelujah.
Or your wicked ways put that desire in there.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Don't say yes, please, but you married men, married women. Do you ever desire a new spouse? Or is that a palatable thought? Is that a proper thought? Is that something, what, did it cross your mind? Was it a temptation? Was it in your heart? Hmm. I'm not being funny. I'm not.
No, you're not.
There's nothing to scoff at.
Right.
The devil can tempt you with that. He can put that thought in your mind.
Sure can.
Sure.
Right.
But when it gets in your heart and becomes your desire, you're in trouble. They sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them. Are you listening? And he was found of them. That's pretty good doctrine in that verse. And the Lord gave them rest round about. Now, who is that? All Judah. All Judah. Their heart's desire was to God. They made a covenant with God to seek the Lord with all their heart. They swore an oath to him that they would do so, that their desire would be holy to him. And God granted them the desire of their heart. They found him.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because I, the Lord, search the hearts. Try the reins. He's searching the hearts. And I know the frustration. I know the angst. I hear it. I deal with many. Dealt with many for years. It's not a matter of God. It's a matter of us.
Right.
It's a matter of the desire. I always like card playing. To be honest, if you could play a Christian poker game, maybe with Uno cards or something, I'd still consider it. Play for matchsticks, as long as somebody donates, when you don't spend any money. I can wheedle my way around and find a good Christian poker game to play. Okay, we're not really going to play for money. We're going to play for toothpicks, but we're going to make them ourselves. You know, I can find it. I actually love poker. You know why? Because I can win poker. You know why? Because I can cheat.
Right.
See, what I do, I don't play poker anymore. Is my desire to do that? No, my desire is not to play poker anymore. You know why? Because my heart changes.
Man.
Does temptation cross my mind every once in a while, but my heart's changed. I have no desire tonight to go to a football game. And I used to love football. Last game I went to, I won't say who was with me, but I drug my wife out of college game. We got tickets from a scalper, dirt cheap. We were just bored to death. We left partway through the game. Just ridiculous. I thought, I'm done. This is so cool. I have no desire to.
Right. That's right. No. That's right, preacher.
Last race car event I went to probably 20 years ago. I'm sitting up in the grandstands, went to the World of Outlaws, sprint cars, 1,200 horsepower, screaming, throwing mud, 15 seconds on a half-mile dirt track. I mean, speed, power, the ground shakes.
Right.
The rednecks are falling out of the stands drunk. I mean, it's an event, buddy. And I'm sitting up in the top of the stands, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
And my heart's changed, my desire's changed.
That's right, preacher.
There's something else in my heart of desire more than this. Something else I want more than this. Sister's rubbing everybody's face tonight about this great steak that none of us got. Didn't get invited. That's okay. I'm not bitter. I'm not hurt. I'm not bitter. How many times have you ever, maybe some of you might say never, how many times have you ever ordered a steak, maybe made a steak, and you're just so excited? And you get done, you're just like, what a waste of time. What a waste of money. We were at Cracker Barrel one time, and I was with a fella, and he just said, I think I need to get the steak. And I said, I wouldn't if I was you. He said, oh, I love ribeyes. I said, you're not going to love Cracker Barrel's ribeyes. I knew him. So you're not going to love Cracker Barrel. You would think you wouldn't have gotten the steak. Now, listen, you don't go to an Italian restaurant and order Chinese food.
Right.
You just, that's just silly. You go to Diamond and order fried rice. Okay? You don't go to a steakhouse and order pizza. You don't go to Cracker Barrel and order steak. Because you have a desire, and all of a sudden it's not fulfilled. It's just that, and I'm using a carnal expression, but all of a sudden it just leaves that emptiness.
Yeah.
So what do? You still have that desire. Is that not the way the lust of the flesh is also?
Yes, sir.
You have that desire, and you fulfill that desire, and it's so empty and so just void of anything, and it's just, there's nothing there, and you still have a desire.
That's
the desire
right.
Is just completely changed because you realize there's nothing to it. And you just chase that and chase that and chase that and chase that and chase that of the desires of your heart. Trying to accommodate the flesh with the desires of your heart, and it never satisfies.
That's right.
Amen.
Because you can't reconcile your heart and your flesh to find satisfaction. You can't do it. If you try to reconcile your flesh with your heart, talking about a carnal heart, talking about your carnal deeds, talking about a fleshly heart of this world, you try to reconcile that, you'll never find satisfaction. When your desire is towards Him, your desire is your heart is for the Lord, He can meet that desire.
Amen.
He can, can I say this? He can satisfy your flesh.
Yes, He can.
So you say, how's that? Because He can put it in subjection.
Yep.
And you'll be satisfied. The days of Noah, what were men doing? They were eating, they were drinking, making merry. What have men doing today? Eating, drinking, making merry?
Yeah.
My wife and I make fun of Winston-Salem for many, many things. I'm not just joking, just a few things. The one thing we really make fun of Winston-Salem about is we have never in our days seen a town that is so full of restaurants that the lines are out the door. Never. You try to go to a decent restaurant in Winston-Salem on a Saturday night, it's 3-hour wait, 4-hour wait.
Right.
Nobody's at home. Yet how many people are satisfied? I'll be honest with you. The line at Sam's Club, there at the little food court in Sam's Club, was very short on Saturday night. And I found that just about as satisfactory as most of the food around here. At least it's an Nathan's hot dog they serve.
Amen.
Amen.
God.
But people just trying to satisfy. What's your desire? Your desire to know the Lord? Is your desire after the things of the Lord? You just So try to balance that, your fleshly wants and what you think God wants for you. And by the way, save person can do that too, and they're just one of the most miserable saved people you'd ever meet.
That's right.
Well, I try to satisfy the flesh and try to satisfy their Savior. Try to satisfy the wants of their heart and the desires that God has put in them. And you can't satisfy them.
That's right.
That's as silly as going street preaching at the football game and laying your placard down and buying a ticket and going to the game when you're done. And I've known some that did that. It's like we get up for preaching, we'll go in the game. It's just like, well, why are you standing out here? How silly. Well, let me get off that. Verse 16 also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king. He removed her from being queen. Now listen, this is Asa the king. This is his mother. You listening? Because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. The heart of Asa was perfect. And again, the scribes start preaching about perfection, and they get nervous and get out of sorts and spread rumors about you. And you always assume it's perfectionist, but the Bible says the heart of Asa was perfect all his days.
Right.
Do you still have flesh? Sure. Do you still have battle? Sure. His heart is
perfect. Heart from God, son. Amen.
The Bible says. And then somebody tells me, well, perfection, the Bible just means completion. Ah, that fits well there. Asa's heart was complete all his days. Brilliant.
That's right.
His heart was perfect. What did he do? He took his own mother's grove and took the little god that she had made and stamped it and burned it. His own mother. You know why? Because his heart's desire was to God.
Amen.
And his desire was to seek the Lord. The covenant was that all of Judah would seek the Lord. And Asa, as their king, he's the one that led that charge. And they all sought the Lord together. And they all said, you know, we will obey God. We will follow God. The Bible said they found him. You know why? Because they searched with him. All the time. That's what their desire is. Now listen, I'm weak. Physically, I'm as weak as could be tonight. And I want to shout. I want to kick my heels up. And I just ran my church with my little girl and wiped me out. So I'm not going to do that. But I just want to say this. Asa had a perfect heart because he found the Lord. Yeah. Judah found the Lord. And if your heart's desire is to obey God, I believe you find it too.
I believe that.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
If that's your heart's desire,
believe that.
The problem is we devise our ways. Our heart devises our ways. Our heart puts us on these ways, and we think these ways are right, what? In our own eyes. We're saying, well, this way has to be right. I told a brother yesterday, I think it was, I was talking to one of the brethren, and I remember when I was in church, and there was a young girl in the church, and she sang, and everybody just marveled at her singing, and I, frankly, usually went to the bathroom, but you know, they didn't marvel at singing so much as the clothing she wore. Usually, in those type of churches, when I first got saved, they're usually stars. I've learned the shorter the skirt, the more men shout when the girls are beginning to sing. And so, she invited the church to her recital in high school. And she was doing an interpretive dance at the high school. And I remember just finding out that some church people went to that. And that's mortifying.
Sure.
I couldn't believe that. Church guys went to watch an interpreting dance. A young lady that served in the church, who supposedly had standards in the church, supposedly, and I realized it was all sham, but you know, and finally it just dawned on me, well, you're teaching Sunday school Sunday morning.
Ooh-wee.
But none of them were there. But you know what I did? Just kept my mouth shut. I couldn't say anything about it. Which the Lord did, the Lord just showed me. You better separate from all that.
Amen.
Right. You self-righteous hypocrite.
It's good.
You better just separate from all that mess. You better just get out of all that carnal stuff. Put your heart after me. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth.
Amen.
Get your affection on heavenly things. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Right.
We When you start laying up treasure in heaven, your heart will be on that treasure that's in heaven. And by the way, there is no greater treasure than a loved one. No greater treasure than those who have gone on before. And you start laying up loved ones in heaven, your heart will be there. Your desire will be there. Your want to will be there. But as long as you got all this treasure on earth, as long as all your works and the things of this earth, the worldly things, men's applause. I don't know if you all knew this. I don't want to boast. Especially with Brother Zachary, I don't want to boast, but I was the NWL tag team champion for a couple hours. I don't know if you all knew that. I don't want to boast. Neil said, "You and Dave want to be the champs?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Here." Hand us the belt. I said, "Thanks, Neil." I don't even have a picture. I don't even know what a picture is anymore. Sorry, champ. Boy, that sure means a lot, doesn't it? I mean, y'all have no idea how that just stokes me and makes me feel like a man.
Yeah.
You know, when I can't get out of bed because I'm coughing and got a fever and my joints ache, my little girl's over there crawling her mommy's head, and her mommy's like, "Daddy, help me, get her off me." I'm laying there shivering with a fever going, "Hush up, woman, find the sleep." Boy, I go back to my NWL days and think, man, I was a champ. I gave my life to wrestling. Man, it was great. Woo! Now, I'm laughing, but y'all seen him in wheelchairs telling football stories.
Right.
I see him with homeless shelters telling stories.
Yeah.
I see him with homeless shelters telling stories about making money.
Yep.
I see the homeless shelters telling about how much money they make.
Yeah.
Why? It's a problem with their affections. It's a problem with what the treasure is. I hope you understand that the more money you have, the more money you'll just blow. We can understand that, right? My wife, I have this saying, I tell my wife, and it's really profound. You'll want to write this one down along with NWL champ. But you could just write down the saying, write NWL champ after it. And I tell her all the time, a reminder, people spend the money on what they want to spend their money on. I mean, everybody's different. We all spend money on different things. We can all look at each other and think we're idiots because we spent money on this, 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 or this. Until I got married, my wife, she wouldn't even thought about spending more than about $3 on a meal. Maybe $5 at the most. She'd care less about food. If I was going to spend money, I'd go spend it on food. I'll be honest with you. I'll buy thrift store shoes, but I'm not buying thrift store meal. We know a family that they waste money like everybody else. I'm not criticizing. They waste money just like we waste money and just like you waste money. They spend money on what they want to spend, but they keep their heat at 60 degrees in the winter. And the family walks around with coats on in the house and covers their face with scars. My wife mentioned that to me this week. She brought that up to me and she said, "You know, why wouldn't they just turn the heat up?" And I said, "Honey, again, because people spend money on what they want to spend money on. In the summer, it's like 80 degrees in their house." And I've told her, I said, "Honey, one of the things I vow is I will spend money on air conditioning." Are you listening? As long as it's available, I'm going to spend money on air. If we go into poor house, I'm going to spend money on air conditioning. I'm just being honest with you. So I'm going to spend money on cars. We don't. And I've never been a car person. I could care less as long as it does what we need it to do and get around town. I don't care about the style, the fashion, the cleanliness. I don't care about any of that. Some people, these guys got these fancy motorcycles, all covered with chrome, and, you know, with tassels and saddlebags and matching, you know, spray-painted helmets and everything. And I've said oftentimes, anybody can buy a motorcycle. It's just what you want to spend your money on.
Right.
So why do you make those choices? Because it's what your desire is, man. You make those choices based on what you want. Brother, I shouldn't bring this up. People are going to think you're carnal. But you remember a couple of years ago, we were going to that store, and that man was coming out, kind of a goofy hippie type. Remember, he said, "Man, what a car." Now, you all hear that story. This lady backs out, probably about a 2015 Corvette convertible, tops up. She backs up, revs it, boom, 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 boom. drops it in gear, pulls out of the parking lot. This guy, I mean, he's in his 60s. And he goes, and we had just got out of the van, when Laverne and I walking across the street, and he just at that moment, she pulls out, he goes, man, what a car. And I immediately said, I said, well, thank you, sir. I said, it's 2008. And I said, it's not very clean right now. And he cuts me off, he goes, I was talking about that Corvette. And I went, oh, sorry about that, bud. And he just looked at me like I was an idiot. You know? And forgive me, but I'm going, what kind of child is thrilled with a Corvette? Come on now.
Man.
What kind of child is thrilled with such a temporal thing? Yeah. I pulled up to a mall in Atlanta that one day, and I'm walking across there, and I happened to notice a Maybach, which is, you know, $500,000 car. You don't usually see them every day. And I just kind of looked at it, like, well, that's a nice car. And, you know, here's the valet parking sitting right in front. And so I jokingly said to the guy, I said, hey, I forgot my keys. Can you throw me the keys for that? He fake laughs. Hey, jerk, you know. And he just says, that's Allen Iverson's car, the basketball player. We go in the ball, there's Allen Iverson. The basketball star made $130 million plus in his career, not to mention endorsements and who knows how many cars and drivers. I mean, he could buy anything he wants in this world. He was a basketball star. He was a great hero amongst people. Man, they worship him in Atlanta. Right. He didn't play in Atlanta. And everywhere he goes, he's a god to these people. Yeah. I told Adam, that was, I'm going to get a track in his hand if I can. And whether it's Brother Allen tracks about, does Jesus care, or who cares, I think it's the name of that track. And just went up to him and said, sir, and he put his hand like this, so he said, sir, I just want to share a message from the Lord with you, if I could, and just both hands, and just took off like this, walked around the corner, and cut in the shop real quick. What really matters?
All right.
Get your $500,000 car and go home, spend money on what you want to spend money on. How much better off is Allen Iverson than me? Oh, he may be doing okay right now. But I promise you one thing, he doesn't have peace like I have.
That's right.
That's not bragging, that's just honesty. Yep. He doesn't have joy like I have. And he doesn't have a future like I have.
That's right. Man.
You realize I didn't have to spend 1 cent on home security last year. Mm-hmm. Not 1 cent.
Man.
We've gone and left our house open before accidentally on trips. Didn't really worry about it. You didn't have a lock at your house.
No,
I don't think you had a lock. These guys live in fear. Bill Gates is the one who computed the numbers, and he made the statement, it was 0.08%, whatever it is, of your income basically is what you have to spend on security. Because the more, he figured it out, they did some kind of quotient, and the more money you have, the more houses you have, the more lands you have, the more boats, yachts, airplanes. You have to hire security for each one of them. You have to hire, you know. And he went through this whole thing about basically you factor, I believe it was 0.08% of what you make, you're going to spend for security every year. Do you realize what Bill Gates spends for security? How many of you worried about that? Besides by the church, who brought a bodyguard with you? But people look at those lights, and I know I'm rambling here, but I'm just doing something, you're going to have to bear with me. People looking off and look at that money and look at those finances and think, boy, if we just had more money, if we just had more, you would still be the same miserable wretch you are tonight. You'd just hide it with money, that's all.
Right, right.
Instead of Walmart makeup, you'd wear the high counter makeup. That's the only difference.
That's right.
Instead of Bobos from Kmart, you'd have high fashion shoes.
Yeah.
But you'd be the same miserable person. You just have more money to be miserable.
That's right.
I was in Bahrain some, I guess, 15, 16 years ago now, the second time I went to the Kingdom of Bahrain. On the front page of the Bahrainian newspaper, there was a headline. It said, translated, I don't know what that meant. But it's a picture of a Ferrari sitting in the Persian Gulf. Sitting there. So I kind of just odd look at the picture oddly, and finally found a newsstand that had an American translation of the newspaper. And one of the royal princes was racing, as he could do, because the police aren't going to stop the royal prince. And he's racing on the main boulevard that runs down along the Persian Gulf on the north side of Manama. And he spun out on the road, spun out through the sand, went into the Persian Gulf. He was fine, so we got out of his Ferrari, went home. Left his Ferraris in the Persian Gulf. Now, part of me finds that kind of humorous. To have so much money that you leave your Ferrari sitting in the ocean because you really don't care. And by the way, they cannot salvage a Ferrari from the ocean. You can't do it. As soon as salt water gets in out of the components and things like that, it's gone, it's shot, there's nothing they can do. He just left it in the ocean. It's basically, anybody that wants it has a free Ferrari, you can have it. But what profit was it to him? What benefit was it to him? What profit is there in the things you get this Christmas?
Right.
Has it ever satisfied you? I can tell the crickets no. I know, listen, moms like the little things. You know, the little handprints and the, you know, Thanksgiving, the turkey hand cutouts and, you know, the drawings and the plates with mom and a Christmas tree drawn on them. And, you know, mamas appreciate things that daddies really care less about. I'm not in a sentimental mood, sorry. But when did it satisfy? When did you find happiness in receiving? When I still participate in the gift exchange at the family home, it's been quite a few years now. The year I finally got fed up, I think I did one more year after that. I remember just going home, just thinking, why am I wasting my time? I have everything I could ever want. I make more money than I ever imagined I could make. The Lord has blessed me beyond measure. I have absolute need of nothing, yet siblings, mother, all feel obligated. They got to do something. So what do? They get you like chocolate saws or chocolate hammers or,
right,
you know, trying to find something that'll make you happy. And, you know, can I be honest? None of it. I appreciate the gesture. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate the gesture, but it didn't make me happy.
That's right.
I tell you what made me happy was my sister to get right with God.
Amen.
You better believe
it. Made me happy for my mom to get right with God.
That's right.
What brings joy to my heart is my family got right with God. That brings joy to my heart.
Sure.
But what's the focus? Things. Stuff. Money. Be honest. How many times have you complained about money this year? Be honest. How many times have you complained about finances this year? Why? That's our desire.
Right.
If we just had more. If we just had more. We said, thou shalt not covet. And give a whole list of things about covetousness. Desiring those things that we do not have, desiring things that others have. You know what the Bible said? It's a sin.
That's right.
If a man be called a brother is covetous, he said, with no such one not to. And yet, I'll be honest with you, we've separated from so many people over the years as fundamentalists, but we certainly haven't separated from covetous people.
No.
We knew an evangelist. I've only met him a couple times. He pulled a meeting in a 14-year-old Mercedes two-door coupe. Now listen, 14-year-old Mercedes two, because I asked him. As soon as he pulled in, his two preachers standing there. They both go, Mercedes. Immediately, Mercedes. Who do you think he is? I think I said out loud, goodness, it's old. There's no pleasure in driving a 14-year-old car to ask me about it. There's no pleasure in that. It costs you a fortune, especially a 14-year-old Mercedes. It costs you a fortune to keep it on the road. Rares about a covetousness. If we could just have more, if we could just have more, if we could just have bigger, if we could just have better.
Hi.
Man.
When I first went to evangelism, my brother Herbert made me send out a prayer letter. I quit doing that a long time ago because nobody ever responded. I don't think many people prayed for me. Mm-hmm. It's cost me about $33 every time I sent out a prayer letter and stamps, and I heard from one person in 3 years. I said, okay, forget that. But I said a prayer line, and I just said this. I got 120,000 miles on my Toyota Camry. I'm in need of a new vehicle if I could, you know. If you just, and that's, I asked the church, would you please make that a matter of prayer? And one man did reach out to me in that, and he just said, he said, brother, he said, we take old cars that are kind of junked up, and we fix them up and get on the road, and we give them to missionaries, evangelists, something like that. And he said, you know, what do you have? And I said, well, I got a, you know, 2001 Camry. And I said, it's got, you know, 125,000 miles on it. And he said, oh, brother, that's way better than anything we got. I said, okay, thank you, brother. So I struggled. And I said, okay, Lord, you know, I can't afford a vehicle. I've gone given everything away. I have no finance. I have no job. I have no career. I have nothing left. Ricky Black Jr. Ricky Black Jr. still drives a car. It's got 475,000 miles on it. Mm-hmm. I sold to him, I guess it's been almost 4 years ago, January, be 4 years ago. And I told him, I said, if you get 2 years out of this, you'll have got a good deal. If you get 3 years out of it, you'll have got a great deal. I said, anything more than that's just the goodness of God. He's been driving almost 4 years now. And think, I was so simple in my faith 13 years ago. I'm going, oh, I really could use a new car.
Right.
I put 312,000 miles on it just for evangelism.
Man.
Oh, but you just have a new car. Oh, you just have a new car. Covetousness creeps up on people. They're not satisfied. The desire is for everything but God.
That's right.
The desire is for everything but holiness. The desire is for self. The desire is inward. The desire is satisfying me. The desire is my comfort. The desire is my belly. The desire is what I can get. I'm going to say this. If I'm wrong, may the Lord show me. Not you, the Lord. Mm-hmm. Go around Winston as we've done this week, and every street corner, there's somebody out there with a sign. Every single corner. They fight over those good spots.
Right.
They know the good spots. By the mall, where the money people are, they fight over them. Where the long lights are, long turn lanes, they can work two lanes of traffic at once. You know something I've learned every one of those people has in common? Covetousness.
That's right.
I've seen them beg for money in front of a sheet store. Take that money and run in and buy a lottery ticket. Boy, that's going to help. Well, I've seen God's people do the same kind of foolish stuff.
Yep. Right.
You know why the furniture stores have their sales in February? Because people get their tax returns.
That's right.
What do? They go buy stuff. And then they complain all year that they don't have any money and they're waiting for their tax return next year. Yeah. Come on now.
Yep.
That's right.
Sir.
I haven't had a tax return until this year. Oh boy, 12 years. This last year, I've got a little girl now. We actually got a tax return. And to pay one of our quarterly taxes. I was real glad about that, because I haven't had the quarterly taxes. I haven't had them since. It's all over two this year. We ain't going to get a tax return. I guarantee you that. So what do? They get that tax return, and they go buy something with it. Why? Because they're covetous. Because their desire is more things. Their desire is more stuff. Their desire is to have. Desires to own. More. 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 When did God reveal himself to Judah? When their heart is towards him and their desire is toward him. He, knowing their hearts, knew their desire was. You know what he did? He revealed himself to them.
Good.
What's wrong? Desire's wrong. I'll just say his name. So you'll figure out about 14 seconds who it is anyway, you're related to it. They're not going to say his name, I'll let you guess. As a young man, we know, he lives in New York, his dad's here, his brother's here, his sister's here, other brothers, father's here. We're not going to say his name. He's courting a young lady who lives in New York, well, lives in Pennsylvania, so I'm not going to say his name. And he asked me, he just said, in this place of where I'm at, he said, right now. He said, brother, do you think there's, Billy Bates, do you think there's anything that would hinder my pursuit of God? And I thought about it for a while, and I finally just said, you know, I said, if your desire is already towards her, what's going to change? Why? Because his desire is towards that young lady. How are you going to stop that? I said, no, you can't change that. Once I saw my wife, talked to Mr. Gearhart that first night I met her, I couldn't turn back. No. You know, that's my desire was towards her. And I believe that young man I'm talking about, who I'm not going to say his name, I believe it also said, I believe his desire is towards that young lady. And good luck talking about it. In fact, it'd be kind of funny to watch you try to talk about it. And I'm not going to say that young lady's name unless I give it away, but I think her desire is towards him. And good luck trying to talk her out of it. Unless they have a big fight this week, I didn't know about. Big blow up, and you know, even then, her desire is still messed up. Once I met my wife, knew her, met her the first time, I had a desire toward her. I remember in West Virginia, I remember sitting up in a church prophet's room several days with Brother Zach. I remember him showing me a picture on his phone with this girl. And sister, I'm so sorry. He's like, I'm in vain. And I went, ah! You know, just, what are you doing, Zach? And just, it was just, oh, sorry, Amber. It was just all week nonstop. And I'm like, you're the text that ugly girl? He just laughed. Hey, you know, Brother Zach. I could tell the first moment. When he showed me a picture, I knew it was sincere. Unless he downloaded it off the internet just to show me, you know, something weird like that. But people might do. But you know, his desire was leading that way. And I was in the same mess he was in at that same time. I was just showing you pictures I downloaded off the internet just to God wouldn't really. That was just bigger than me to want to make fun of her. But see, my desire was too far gone. His desire was too far gone. This young couple we're speaking of, this courting couple we're speaking of, their desire is already that way. So what does it mean? From here, because of the desire, there's an acceleration. There's a coming together. There's a drawing. There's a closure. There's a minimization of the gap between them. Why? Because of that desire. What is the ultimate objective of that desire? To be one with that desire.
Right.
That is the ultimate objective.
Yes, sir.
How are you going to be one with money? How are you going to be one with things? Why is the Roman centurion be content with his wages? Because more money is not going to satisfy. He's not going to become one with that money. You ever known someone that more money changed them for the better? I'm not being funny. I don't want to lose my reward. But I had a man who recently told me that he had a $2.6 million tax bill staring at him. That same man told me one time, he said, I've given thousands of dollars to the church. He said, probably $100,000 to the church. And I'm not being funny. I don't want to lose my reward, but I swear. That's like Oprah giving $30,000 in making television. Like Oprah gave $30,000. And I'm like, Oprah makes 950 times what I make. What's that to Oprah?
Right.
I'm not mocking, I'm not scoffing, I'm not making light of that. That's just a drop in the bucket, it's chump change. I asked a dear preacher friend of mine one time. He was hitting around about it. And I said, brother, I said, you think you've probably given $1 million to the ministry, haven't you? And he, with all meekness, he said, oh, I passed out a long time ago. Everybody doing all right? Still choking on that?
Right.
He said, I passed out a long time ago. Where's your treasure? Where's your desire? Where's your want? When you see something, do you think of others? Do you think of you? Why should we like my preacher's wife to have those nice shoes? Well, glad she's not here. I'd ask her how many ladies bought her a new dress, a new pair of shoes this year, but I think I probably already know the answer without asking. Preacher's wife. Everybody doing all right? Everybody happy? Everybody loving the Lord?
That's right.
I got a pastor's wife here. I'm not going to ask her. I need a new pair of shoes. I know. I'm going to get one for my pastor. Maybe the Lord bless me with a pair. I know we're meddling now. That's all right. I like meddling sometimes. It's all inward. It's all me, 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 me.
Right, Richard.
Because that's where our affections are.
That's right.
I've said it many times. I've said it many times. I'll say it again. True Christianity is not giving your old car to a missionary.
Right.
True Christianity is giving that new car to a missionary.
That's right.
You have two coats. What do? Give your fellow traveler your other coat. And by the way, you got one coat, you know what you do? Give your fellow traveler that one coat. Because your desire is for him to make it. Your desire is for him to survive. Your desire is for him to make his journey.
It's good.
Will you walk with me a mile? No, I'll walk too with you. So we think helping somebody is putting change in the kettle. We think helping somebody is a little feel-good donation, buying Joe Corby's pieces for the cheerleading squad. We think that's helping somebody. But no, it's going an extra mile. It's walking where nobody else will walk with them. It's taking where nobody else will take it. It's doing good to your enemies. Loving those that hate you. Doing good to those that despise you.
So good. Amen.
Some people can't do good to the people they love, let alone the people they despise. If I had bitterness and hatred against a lady in this church, I think to get that thing settled, I think I'd go sell everything I had if I needed to and just go buy her an outfit.
That's good, boy.
That off one of the men in this church, I think I'd do what I could.
Right.
I'll be honest. Listen, I've said it many times, and I don't hesitate to say it again. I never owned an expensive pair of shoes. I've had some nice shoes, but they were never expensive. I've never had expensive. Most I ever paid is like $40 for a pair of shoes. I give away dozens of pair of shoes. I had a pair of shoes here tonight off to the preacher. He said he couldn't use them. That's fine. $350 pair of shoes. I looked them up at AllenEvans.com.
Sure.
Got them at a thrift store. Now listen, they're cheap shoes at a thrift store. They're not cheap to buy, and they're in excellent condition.
That's right.
I get away dozens and dozens of pairs of shoes. I get away some brand new in the box. I get away $200 shoes to people before.
Right.
And I'm not poor mouthed. Don't anybody go around saying anything bad about me. But nobody's ever bought me a pair of shoes. And don't go buy me a pair of shoes because I said that either. Over you.
Don't worry.
Nobody's ever bought me a pair of shoes.
That's right.
But I've walked in a thrift store, brand new Rockport dress sports. $99.95 on Macy's.com. $5 for the shelf in the thrift store.
It's good.
Excuse me.
We had a thrift store right up the street from that same thrift store, downtown Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. I walked in there on a January 9th, brand new pair of Johnson Murphys. Out of $19.99, Johnson Murphy's out. $10.
Hey, man.
Get away dozens of pair of shoes. Not bribing, just telling the truth. I get away hundreds of neckties. Hundreds of neckties. I get away hundreds of shirts. Get away. And I know people think we're crazy. I know people think, they used to call me the shirt man, trying to be funny. They think we're kind of crazy. You know why I used to do that, brother? Just to be kind to
sure,
people.
Sure, sure.
People make fun of us for it.
Sure.
Just try to be kind to people. Try to help.
That's right. Be a blessing.
We started Black Creek, New York. Went over to the cold store in Olean, New York, little Olean. A whole bunch of $5 shirts. Told my wife, I said, you know what? Some of those folks in Black Creek probably use some shirts. She said, how are we going to buy it? I said, we're going to buy them all. Her eyes went about this big. With 10 shirts, we spent $50. Now, I'm not bragging, and I'm not boasting. People make fun of us all they want to. But we had to take 4 months off the road for the baby to be born. We had to do all the work on the house, had to patch those walls, had to put flooring in, had to put carpeting in, had to do all kinds of work on the house. We hadn't had money for years to do that. And I'm just going to go and tell you, because it's public knowledge, and tax people know, and Mrs. Proctor knows. So that year, we did $109,000 gross sales on eBay.
Hallelujah. Thank God.
Took 4 months off the road. 4 months off the road. Without an offer. Got the work done in the house. My wife and I each opened up a retirement account. And put a bit of money in for each of us.
Good.
Someday, something happens to me, my wife will be able to live for at least a month.
Hey.
Covetous. 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 The most ever made evangelism was $17,000 in 1 year. The most I can keep track. I'm not a fraud. I'm not a tax dodger. Most remain advanced with $17,000 in a year. And we're still here.
Man.
I'm not bragging on boasting and saying God took $50 and turned it into $100,000 a year business.
Sure.
Man.
God be the glory.
With us. I don't even have enough inventory now to even get close to that. We could never do it again. But the year we need it, God provided.
Amen, brother. It's good.
That's right.
And I want you to listen to this preaching. I want you to listen close. And I know I'm rambling on, but I'm going to keep rambling on. It's just nails popping up and you keep stomping on.
Get it?
Some of you benefit from that, too.
Yes, sir.
There's a whole lot of preachers who don't benefit from that. There's a lot of meetings benefit from that. There's missionaries that profit from that.
Yes, sir.
To God be the glory.
Right.
To God be all the glory. We didn't get in to make a lot of money. We got in it that God could meet our needs. God will take care of us.
Right.
He's slowly getting out of us now. You know, God's still doing, he's still taking care of us.
That's right.
And we weren't broke preaching. We were getting right there. We're getting pretty close. I just told my wife yesterday, I believe it was, I said, honey, we're almost broke. But I said, we've been broke before. It'll be all right. I chewed this nail off because I tore it on the bed sheet. Mm-hmm. My wife thinks I should use nail clippers, but I'm not a nail clipper person. person, I'm a teeth person.
Right.
That grosses you out, I don't care. But what grosses my wife out, I don't care. See, why don't you use nail clippers? Because they're time consuming and they're annoying. I'll rip it off. But I've never chewed one nail worrying about money.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's a blessing, boy. It's a blessing.
I've laid awake worrying about some of you.
Right.
But I've never laid awake worrying about money.
That's right.
How's your desire? How's your desire? I told my wife in February, March, I think it was February this year, I said, honey, I said, we'll buy trinkets. We're done doing what we used to do as far as buy it. The Lord showed me, we'll shut it down. We shut it down. The Lord showed me that.
Amen.
I said, we're not going to worry about finances. No, we're not going to worry about that. We had three churches gave us all the support this year.
It's good.
Three churches took us all the support. That little Anchor Baptist Church was in Wellsville, New York. Last time we were there, they told us. Brother McVeigh, who believes the Lord's will for us to support you as a missionary, and tonight we'll give you your first check.
Amen.
That's it. To God be the glory.
Amen.
When I was making money, working a normal, kind of normal job, I remember a missionary came in and he talked about a donation somebody had made to him. And I remember just going, I like you more than that. And he was talking about an illustration. He was using it as an illustration. And I went, I like you more than that. The Lord said, why don't you? I went ahead and cut him a check. I walked into my son night and handed it to him. And he just yelled. He grabbed me, hugged my neck, wept. Just wept. And I said, brother, I said, I don't want you to tell anybody I gave you that. He said, I won't tell a soul. He was a non-profit organization. They sent me a little slip. I wrote it off my taxes that year. I got a tax return so large that I just never seen anything like it in my life. I didn't know what to do with all the money. So that's what they gave to missionaries. Now listen, there's a really good end to the story. That's the year I bought my house. But the year before I bought my house. Then next February, I'm doing my taxes. And because of that, those write-offs, the other write-offs, I got another big tax return. And I just purchased my house. Put $42,000 down on my house. And I said, okay, Lord, you know that I got this house. I went broke buying it. I'm going to put some money aside in case I have a problem or an emergency. I'm going to take this tax money, I'm going to put it aside and put it in a special fund. And the Lord said, oh yeah, you're going to need it. My tax return was $4,500. And before the Lord, my heat pump was $4,600. True story.
Sure, no doubt about that.
He knows your desire.
Right.
He knows your covetousness.
That's right.
He knows what you want. And what he wants is you.
Amen.
And what he wants from you is to want him.
What about that?
If you really desire him, you'll find him.
That's right.
That's right.
If you really desire him, you'll find him.
You're not, yeah.
What do you desire? I worked with a man, he's single like me, made far more money than I did. He just bought whatever he wanted, didn't face it. He bought a 4-bedroom, 3-bath house over in Scotland, PA. I go to his house and empty room, empty room, empty room, TV room. I say, Paul, what's in the bedrooms upstairs? He goes, I got a bed in my room. You go upstairs, empty bedroom, empty bedroom, empty bedroom. I said, are you planning for the future? And he said, well, I would like to get married someday. I said, well, I'd be a blessing if you could, buddy. And sure enough, met a girl at the church, got married, moved her in there. House is packed to the brim now. Good thing I got that house. When I bought my house, I had empty rooms. When my wife moved, I had empty rooms. Off the wall. We don't have empty spots now. We don't have empty rooms. You don't tell the truth. All that junk you're selling, piled up in the dining room. All those knives and knife homes and tools. And you know, God said, care of us. I hope, pray, I believe my desire's been for Him. I believe my want's been to Him. I believe my desire's been to please Him. But I want you to just listen to me again. He's taking care of me.
That's right.
That's right.
Brother, if you don't want to say, just look at me weird. But when you had that mobility business run a full tilt under a patriotic business over there, what was your sales, most sales you ever had in a year?
$960,000.
Did y'all hear Brother Mike? $960,000. I watched this couple go broke. I watched them go broke. I've never heard a complaint.
Right.
I've never heard a complaint. I've never heard a murmur. I've never heard a grumble. They may have fought behind closed doors if I wasn't there listening. Greatest lessons I've learned have been going broke.
Right.
Best thing that happened is some of you just go broke.
That's right.
There's a man that some of this church love, know dearly. It's been said of him by several people. The best thing that happened to that man is that he'd lose everything. He might seek the Lord.
Right.
Mm. He might. What's your desire? What do you love the most? What's that thing God keeps showing you? That fear of poverty. That fear of being poor. Oh, how silly it is. How foolish it is.
Man. Right.
Old. I do feel old. I'm not young anymore. Like the psalmist, I would say this. I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
Okay.
I've heard Brother John tell this story of picking up cans alongside the road. I never had to pick up cans.
Yeah.
I just sold bags of candy for $1.50 a bag. You listening? To make 70 cents a bag. I was selling candy for $1.50 a bag. I was driving around in a van selling potted plants. I went down to the greenhouse and I bought them about $1.70 to $2.30 a piece. Do you remember that, Brother Mike? We bought all those potted plants for Mother's Day. Gotta tell you all the story. Good. I don't care if you like it or not. We went down to a midnight greenhouse and she undercharged. I mean, I don't know how she stayed. Her husband had a farm, only she stayed in business. My friend Mike Cooper said, we can make money selling this stuff in Annapolis. We bought everything she had. We had, I mean, my car piled up, his van piled up. We're riding in our parking lots in Annapolis, Maryland. And I'm selling flowers out of the back of a van. Why, to raise enough money to go to Herbert, now to go to South Dakota to go to a meeting. Y'all can laugh, but we made $900. You know what our plane tickets were? $440 a piece.
Amen.
We joked about it. We sit there eating in the airport. We had $40 to eat. We both said, well, we'll provide us $40 for us to eat with. And we kind of a running joke with me and him. I did a lot of crazy things. I had to pick up cans inside of the house. I was selling flowers out of the back of my van. And you couldn't know that because it would have hurt Bruce if he would have been bringing that with you.
Yeah.
Undercutting his business. God have forsaken you.
Oh, no. No,
Not even close.
You ever been hungry?
Yes, sir.
Pretty rough, isn't it? Mm-hmm. God feed you?
Yeah, he did.
What's your desire? Man told me recently, he said, I work double time on the weekends. He said, I get about $45 an hour. Oh, wait. I've gone to church and made $550 an hour. I preach for an hour and get $550 off.
That's right.
Nice to be preached. One, that whole month. Good thing it's $550, that's all I'm saying. Brother Vernon, I think I'm done. I'll probably stand up and say some more. I hope your desire's right. God wants to make it right. That old flesh, that old carnality, that old covetousness.
I believe he hit the nail on the head. That desire. I don't, Brother Zach, do you think there's ever been anybody who has really desired God with all their heart and sought through a King James Bible in the house of God who didn't find God?
I couldn't tell you.
Brother Vernon, what do you think? No. Do you think there's ever been anybody that's ever desired God with all their heart?
No.
In the house of God. I've known people who profess that desire looking in all the wrong places.
Right.
You know, and that desire was, but I've never known of anybody looking in the right places and desiring God that didn't find God.
No, it's not going to happen. Because he's wanting to be found.
Yeah.
He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We're going to sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, 388.